And now it's time for Artery, cultural coverage that aims for perfection. There's talk that we're in the midst of a second tech boom in San Francisco. Twitter is opening its new headquarters in the Central Market District, and residents are buzzing about what's to come. Mayor Ed Lee has been courting startups since he came into office, hoping they'll bring thousands of new jobs to the city. But many contend there's an unwanted side effect. The boom has been pushing up already high rent and property values, and it's threatening to push out many low-income residents living downtown. For now, Mid-Market is still something of a sore point for City Hall, dotted with abandoned storefronts and adult theaters. It's been that way for generations, as noted 3 years ago by then-Mayor Gavin Newsom.
I think I'm the sixth mayor since I have lived in San Francisco that's promised to do something about the Mid-Market. I know I won't be the last, but I don't want to look back and say I woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Neither does a group of local artists who say now it's their turn to present a vision for the city. But instead of making art to attract people to the neighborhood, they're focusing on the community that's already there and inviting them to participate in a large-scale exhibition called Streetopia. It launched on May 18th, and KALW's Martina Castro was there.
By a certain age, most of us come to accept the world as it is. If we're lucky, it's a pretty even balance between the good and the bad. Some things are bad. Road rage, war, poverty. And some are good, like best friends, family, and puppies. Many of us are resigned to accept this balance in our own lives and in the world, even if we're not that happy about it. But what if we set that aside for a minute and let ourselves wonder? What if it could just be the good? What would that world look like?
Lots of green, like jungle-like green, and like
healthcare, housing, and food on demand.
People would have their own space that they need for living and working.
Like where you can just sit and then, you know, and have like a bottle of red wine with you, like, you know, like you do in Italy or something.
Radical free art and expression, and a constant renewing celebration of freedom that stops only short of impinging on other people's rights. And otherwise is completely unfettered.
Does it look something like this?
Yeah, it looks a lot like this.
This is Streetopia. It's part exhibit, part festival, an event that brings together more than 130 artists, writers, activists, and other San Franciscans to imagine a utopian version of their city. Its home base is the Luggage Store Gallery on 6th and Market Streets, but it extends throughout the neighborhood over the course of 5 weeks. On opening night, the Luggage Store is packed with people winding in and out of a temporary mini-city. Every nook and cranny is home to some artistic representation of life as it should be. This exhibit is here for the duration of Streetopia, but the calendar includes events like a lecture series.
Communes were about solving problems. They were not about escape.
Documentary screenings.
Fantasy and science fiction present an alternative to the world as we know it.
And a perfectly sane man reciting poetry for 72 hours straight as he roams the streets of San Francisco.
It's the labor strike waterfront where the ships Santumo and Cosmos once sailed from Uruguay.
It's like that sort of quest for that utopian thing that's just up ahead, you know? It kind of like drew more and more people in and maybe like inspired me to like go further and further and push harder and harder and find ways to like make it as epic as possible.
That's Eric Lyle, one of the curators behind Streetopia, what has become this philosophical, fantastical, and radically creative search for utopia, which he thinks is very San Francisco.
People come here to find a freer self, you know, whether they're artists or whether they're queer people or whether they're political activists, or they look to this place as a place where they can come and be a part of this rich tradition. And of course, oftentimes when they get here, the thing that they're looking for is gone. You know, they're like, oh, there's no more beat poets. There's no more punk rockers. The Castro is gentrified, you know, et cetera. But by looking for those things, by coming here and looking, they continue to, it's like by looking for it, you make it.
Lyle and his friends are driven by this. In fact, when I ask him for his vision of utopia.
For me, it's the search. Yeah, I think that's the best part.
Lyle embarked on something very similar to Streetopia back in 2001 at the tail end of the dot-com boom.
We were feeling like we had no space. We were losing community space and housing very rapidly to gentrification. And people were in despair about that, but we wanted to come together and talk about what are we for and not what we're against.
So he and some friends took over an abandoned building at 949 Market Street. There they put together a bunch of exhibits and developed a huge following.
It was so ambitious and so well done and well organized and professional that no one could imagine it was illegal. And we did it for 4 months.
A decade later, Lyle and artists Chris Johansson and Cal Speletich are at it again. One thing is different. Now they're in a leased space. But Lyle says something else is almost exactly the same.
You know, and I don't mean to pick on dot-com people. I mean, most of them are young, creative people that are, many of them are progressively minded and are interested in certain causes. But I feel like the infrastructure of the actual companies, you know, where you have these companies providing private bus services for their employees and stuff like that. It's like the engagement is not with the greater good. You know, like you have, it's more of a gated community kind of feel. Things are becoming more and more exclusive. So you're really losing like a sense of like, I mean, what is a city, right?
It's cyclical. And I think right now in the city, we're coming up against the challenge of an influx of money and how we shape the city.
Ivy McClelland was with Eric Lyle at 949 Market Street in 2001.
As we see, there's all kinds of new building projects and, you know, high-tech companies coming in, and there's this massive influx of new residents. So, you know, us who've been here for a long time and have been drawn to the Bay Area, which is known for people seeking out utopian visions and living differently, we're just trying to find a way to have a dialogue with those who may not understand the legacy of the Bay Area.
That legacy is what inspired the Streetopia Free Cafe, where McClelland is preparing fresh food for a line of hungry visitors. It's in the luggage store annex in the Tenderloin neighborhood, just a few blocks north of Market Street.
There's going to be a wish list on the bulletin board.
Curator Eric Lyle says the original inspiration for the Free Cafe is the 1960s guerrilla theater group, the Diggers,
who used feeding people as a practical political objective to take care of their own community through self-determination, but also had a performative aspect to it because, by feeding visibly in public, they were showing that their community had strength and that they could do things that the government infrastructure was failing to do.
Northern California was a magnet for, quote, intentional communities back then. Places with names like Morningstar, the Hog Farm, and Black Bear Ranch. In a Streetopia lecture, Jesse Drew talked about his experiences there and the hopes they had for changing the world.
The first one in everyone's list, you're going to laugh, curbside recycling was the number one most brought up thing. In Utopia, there will be recycling for everybody, mandatory, to your door. I think that was really funny because if that is the case, then we won a few years ago, so we can all just go home.
Drew said many free community health clinics that we have today came out of the commune movement, as did the concept of sustainable living. Today, in many ways, sustainability has been commodified. It feels expensive to live in an environmentally and socially responsible way. And somehow, the people who can't afford to make any changes are often left out of the conversation.
Do you live here in the neighborhood or around here?
Exist here. I wouldn't call it living.
Oh, you exist here. Okay.
I have this problem. I'm allergic to pain, and this is like the most painful place I've ever been.
Back at the Free Cafe, I meet Alan Moore as he serves himself a plate of hot food. He came to San Francisco in 1977, and he lives in the Tenderloin. In between friendly jokes, he makes it clear that he does not see utopia on the streets of his neighborhood.
This is my vision of hell. If I go to hell, I'm going to go to this exact same place. They're going to say, oh, you weren't good. You got to start all over again. Back to the Tenderloin, back to 77, back to slave wages, back to crack dealers, 300 to the corner, back to police who don't see the crack dealers and write people jaywalking tickets. Have you seen all this?
Yes.
I think I'm hallucinating. You're the only one who's seeing this. This couldn't be real.
So I'm walking on a stretch of Leavenworth down in the Tenderloin of San Francisco, and these six or so blocks between the Luggage Store Gallery on Market and 509 Ellis Street in the Luggage Store Annex is included in the Streetopia exhibit. There's a lot of people sitting on the sidewalks, hanging out on stoops. I saw at least two drug deals happening, and several people using drugs. It feels neglected. And it's something you see on people's faces as well. They kind of wear it in their eyes.
Like everyone else, there's moments of despair and bitterness and cynicism. And there's part of me that also thinks, oh, utopia, what a ridiculous idea. Why are we even talking about that?
Micah Bezant is one of the Streetopia artists at the Luggage Store Gallery. Bezant says difficult times are when it's most important to have a clear vision of your utopia.
I think of it not as a fixed, concrete thing that we're ever going to reach where there are going to be no problems, but as a practice and a way to maintain balance with our despair.
One of my favorite authors, Eduardo Galeano, once wrote, "Utopia is on the horizon. I move two steps closer, it moves two steps further away. I walk another 10 steps, and the horizon runs 10 steps further away. As much as I may walk, I'll never reach it. So what's the point of utopia? The point is this, to keep walking." In San Francisco, I'm Martina Castro for Cross Currents.